This is the First String Podcast with your hosts, Brandon and Sean Eaton. What's up, guys? And welcome to the First String Podcast. If you're listening to this, then you are very, very lucky, or maybe unlucky, because this is the very first episode. We are pumped to have you on here. The First String, it's about sports, it's about life, laughs, whatever we want to talk about, whatever's intriguing, what's going on today. I'm your host, Brandon Eaton. Thanks for tuning in, and we got my brother from the same mother, Sean, here. Sean, what's up?
How's it going?
I'm just going to get right into it. There's no sense beating around the bush, so what is this episode about? It's about the NFL. So yeah, we're gonna be talking about the NFL today, guys, because you know it's that time of year, and it's a wonderful time of year. It's that time of year when everybody's just kind of itching to get some real football on their TVs, and everybody's drafting their fantasy teams. So we're gonna be talking about that too, because who doesn't love fantasy football? I mean, let's be honest, it's friggin' awesome, and it's an epidemic, and it's you know, sweeping through the nation. We got people that don't even like football, never even showed an interest in football, and now they're playing fantasy football, so it's pretty darn cool. So we're going to be talking about that. Both of us have been playing fantasy football for, a long time.
Yeah, I don't even remember when we started.
We took an interest in it. You know, it's we come by it naturally because our dad was actually playing fantasy football when this was pre-internet, people. This was it was a live draft, and I'm talking in-person draft, not just live draft on your computers. This is in-person draft. And the way that they did their statistics and their points was by the newspaper. So they looked up all the stats in the paper and tallied up all the points, and then what did Dad get in the door every single Tuesday?
The score sheet.
The score sheet. It was a booklet, kind of, basically a bunch of pages stapled together, yep, in his door, and
every team score, where their standings were,
so
everything.
We're talking, I mean, what was this, 20 years ago?
At least, man.
At least 20 years ago.
Yeah, so. It had to be, I mean, shoot, 20 years ago, I was 12, so to be well before that.
Yeah.
I'm talking probably 23, 24 years ago, probably.
So, and the really cool thing about that league is it's actually still going to this day. And both of us have been in it.
And won it.
Actually, it's funny because, Sean, I actually had to bow out of it yesterday because my baseball team is in the championship series and it is on draft day. Dad was going to Skype me in. I just moved down to South Carolina from New York. The draft is in New York, and I was actually going to get Skyped in to draft, and they're all cool with it.
I wish that was around when I had to leave. I left, I had won the year before and then just couldn't play the next year. So I think they're happy when I went up, actually.
Well, I mean, I think they're secretly happy when I left because I've been in it for 5 years and I've won it 4 out of 5 years. No. 3 out of 5 years, and I got second place one of those years. And I am the defending champion, but I can't even defend my championship now. So that sucks.
We're both going out on top now, so that's good.
What's that?
We're both going out on top of that league, man.
Oh, you left after you won too?
Yep.
Yeah, they're probably pumped to get rid of us. But still going. So, I mean, that's a fantasy league that's been going for 25 plus years. So let's just say we've been around it for a long, long time. So we'll get into fantasy too. But we're going to do some predictions. And I think this is pretty awesome because, you know, this is our first podcast. So it's pretty darn cool that we are going to put some predictions out there and actually have it down on recording so we can look back on it and see how wrong we were at the end of the year. Or how right we were. Who knows? Maybe we'll actually be right about some stuff. But first thing I want to get into, Sean, is let's do some predictions here as far as division winners, and I'll go right down the list, each division, And we'll do wild card winners too, or you know, wild card teams. And we'll do predictions there. Let's just go right from each division. We'll start with the AFC. Let's do the AFC East.
All right, let me go ahead and win with the AFC East.
That's probably the easiest one, I would think.
No, I'm gonna do a bold prediction here. You ready?
We're going bold.
All right, the Patriots are gonna win
today. That's really bold.
I know.
I also have the Patriots. Do you have a record for them? Because my record is actually kind of bold for the Patriots. I'm saying the Patriots are going to be 10-6.
Yeah, I was thinking 11-5. I don't think they're as good as they have been, but I've been saying that for the last 10 years.
Yeah, we've been waiting for Tom Brady regression here for, you know, 6 years or so. I think actually there was one point in time where he had a bad game, and I think this was, 4 years ago. All the pundits were saying, oh, he's done. We got to bench him. And
it was in Kansas City.
Yeah, and they think they won the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, they were wrong.
Yeah, so, you know. But I actually think there is going to be a regression here a little bit at 10-6. It's funny to say that because, 10-6 is pretty respectable for pretty much any other team in the NFL. But for the Patriots, that's a down year. I don't remember the last time they were 10-6, probably with Matt Cassel.
No, I think they won 11 games that year, actually.
Oh, did they? All right. So.
I think so. I think they're 11-5. So, Matt Cassel.
So maybe it's 10-6 is what I have. So AFC West. AFC West. Who do you think?
I'm gonna go with the Chargers.
Chargers, I like that. I went with the Chiefs.
With
the Chiefs.
It's really bold there.
It's not really bold, but you know, I'm thinking with my brain here. I'm not just gonna say stuff just to, you know, be bold. I wanna be right, Sean.
Well, I think I'm gonna be both. They were both 13-3 last year.
Yeah, I had the Chiefs, and I have them at 12-4. 12-4.
Yeah, I think that the Chargers will be right around there. I'll give them 13. I'll say 13-3. They'll be the one seed, and then the Chiefs will be right behind them at either 11-5 and or 12-4.
See, I have the Chargers as one of my wild card teams at 10-6. So you know, so we're thinking similarly here, just kind of flip flopped. AFC North. Who are you thinking there?
That's a tough one.
It is a tough one.
See, everyone's all about the Browns now because they have all the players, but I just don't know if they're ready to take that jump yet and be an elite team. And then you have the Steelers. See, I'm not really high on the Ravens. I don't know. I think that they're gonna figure out how to contain the quarterback. And he's not going to be able to do what he did in college or the first few games in the NFL. And you're going to see kind of the RG3 regression that we saw when they figured him out.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a similar situation there as well. And I also, you know, whenever you have a quarterback like that, I mean, he's way more shifty than RG3 was. RG3 had straight line speed, but let's face it, the guy did not have lateral quickness, and he took big hits. Whereas, you know, he's a lot more shifty than RG3 was, so he doesn't take the big hits that RG3 did. But I think they're too one dimensional with that, you know.
Yeah. I think you're gonna see more teams try to do what the Chargers did in the playoffs and they have 7 DBs on the field,
right?
And just play the fast people against them, and they couldn't do anything.
Yeah, because I mean he's fast, but he's not like faster than all the DBs. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have I actually did pick the Browns. I think the Browns are going to win the AFC North. I got them at 10-6. I actually think the Steelers are going to be the wild card team at 9-7. So,
yeah, I think I'm going to go with the Steelers to win the division, and that really hurts me to say that cuz I absolutely hate the Steelers.
Yeah.
They're like my least favorite non-divisional team, if that makes sense. So right. Like I'm a Cowboys fan, so I hate all the NFC East teams the most.
Right. I'm a Redskins fan, so I hate all the NFC East teams also. So it's going to get really, really interesting. So you kind of know how our conversations go, guys, off air, with him being a Cowboys fan and me being a Redskins fan. Two weekends a year are very interesting.
Yeah, they just have been on Thanksgiving too many times here recently.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think, I mean, to me, I understand what you're saying with the Browns, but I just think that they have too much talent to not win. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, on paper, they might be the most talented roster in the NFL. It's ridiculous. The people, that, especially in the skill positions, they're ridiculous. They're absolutely ridiculous, you know? Baker Mayfield had a great rookie season. I think he's going to go up from that, because how do you go down when you get one of the best receivers in the game added to your team after you had a good rookie year, your second year in the offense, and you know, you're gonna just thrive. You know what to expect. His confidence is high. Not that he ever has a confidence problem.
You could say that,
but you know, he's got even more confidence now. So.
There's, yeah, I mean, the one thing about them is there's only one football.
That's true.
They have Juice and Odell, and I know that they're best friends, but, you know, if one starts getting the ball a little bit more than the other one, it could be interesting, you know?
Yep. I so think the
I would be curious to see what happens there, but, I mean, I do think they're going to be good. I think they're really good on offense. They've got a really good young defense, and I think they can win 10 games. I feel like they'll probably lose head-to-head against the Steelers, and that's what's going to give the Steelers the edge in the division. Maybe even both with 10-6 records.
I think, I think 10 games is going to win that division. 10 wins will win that division. I think the Browns can do it. I think the Browns and the Steelers are going to split. I think the Browns will steal one from the Steelers, you know, so to speak there. But the one thing about Odell and Landry is that I feel like they kind of complement each other with their games. You know, not just because, I mean, these guys have been playing with each other since what, high school?
LSU, I think.
I think they went to the same high school.
Really?
I think so.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's a crazy high school.
Yeah. But the good thing about it, though, the crazy thing about it is, I mean, yes, they both want the ball, but Landry's more of like a slot guy. He's like, he's more of like the Wes Welker type. You know, he's kind of moved the chains, you know, dump offs, check downs, that type of, you know, when the quarterback's taking a three-step drop or something quick, he's kind of the guy there working in the middle of the field and that type of stuff. Whereas Odell Beckham, he's more of the take the top off the defense, you know, 15 yards, 20 yards down the field kind of guy. So I think their two games really complement each other. And I think it's just going to open things up for both of them. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it's going to be really good. I can see them being a big time power in the future. I think this is going to be the year where they start to, you know, scratch their potential a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're just going to keep getting better. But it's, you know, and I'm happy for the Browns, because let's face it, I'm a Redskins fan. I know what it's like to suck for a long time, but I don't know what it's like to suck for that long. You know,
and just if you look at the history of the Browns and like the quarterbacks that they passed on, and then like the ones
all
that
of them
they took, yeah, well, yeah, I mean, essentially, even recently, they traded the pick that was Carson Wentz,
right?
He's an Eagle, so I don't really want to like him, but he's extremely good. And then, who else did they pass on the year before that? It was, what was it, Deshaun Watson and a whole bunch of other people.
Yep. Yeah, so, I think their biggest thing was they were afraid to pull the trigger for a while because they just kept, you know, picking the wrong guy.
Right. Well, that's what happens when you trade back and then pick a reach of a quarterback at the end of the first round and hope it pans out.
Yep. So, yeah, let's move on to the AFC South.
I mean, I would have said Colts and kept it moving last week, but we got that shock earlier this week about Andrew Luck's retirement.
Craziness.
which, I mean, I can't say I blame him if his body's breaking down. It's probably the best thing he could do. And who knows, maybe in 2 years or a year, if he's feeling better, he can come back. And I think that's potentially what happens. But I think, and this is going to be part of what we're going to do later, was surprise teams, is I think that the Jags are going to win the division.
See, I was going back and forth with this when I was making my list here, and I was flip-flopping the Jags and the Texans and just going back and forth and back and forth. And I wrote down the Texans here at 9-7. I think this is by far the worst division in the AFC, maybe the worst division in the entire NFL, personally. It could have been one of the better ones, but what's crazy to me is, you know, you talk about a position in any sports and being what position is important. And I think this is just proof that the quarterback position is by far the most important position in any sports, you know, team sport that there is. I mean, the Colts just went from a team that was potentially, you know, a Super Bowl contender, potentially, right? So they went from a 10-win team, 11-win team with one of the best quarterbacks in the game to they might have the first overall pick next year.
Wouldn't crazy. That be something if they went from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck to Tua?
Exactly. I mean,
30-year stretch.
I could see it happening, to be honest. I could. It's just the Colts luck, you know?
Yeah.
Pun intended.
Yeah, seriously. That would be crazy if that actually happened. But I don't know. I think Brissett's not bad. Like, he did not play bad for them. Their line was awful.
Their line is still awful. It's still awful.
The Colts?
Oh, wait, no, that's not true.
I was going to say, they have a great line last year.
Yeah, their line is good. Last year, they actually finally spent a first-round draft pick on the guard there, Quinton.
Yeah,
he's a beast. Yeah, he's a beast. Yeah, that's true. They have had a terrible line for a long time, but I don't know, man. I feel like they were a 4-win team the year before. You know, the year that Luck missed.
Yep.
They won 4 games.
Yep.
Luck's gone again.
Yeah, but them losing or them winning 4 games is what got them Quentin Nelson in first place. Then Ballard came in, had a great draft, and they were off and running.
It's true.
They were a legit Super Bowl contender with Andrew Luck this year.
Yep.
But you're so right about the quarterback, is because you look at Jacksonville the year before, and they had the Patriots on the ropes in the AFC Championship game with one of the worst quarterbacks probably to ever play in the AFC Championship game, and Blake Bortles. So
Right. Imagine,
and then now they have a Super Bowl MVP in Nick Foles.
Yep.
So, I mean, I feel like they're going to be one of the surprises. That and Leonard Fournette, I think, got his head out of his ass from last year. And I think he's going to have a breakout year this year.
Yeah, I could see that for sure. The reason I went with the Texans over the Jags is because I just think they have way more talent at the skill positions than the Jags do. I mean, I think Nick Foles is definitely going to help that team. But when you look at the Texans and the talent they have, and honestly, like, I just feel like they're just going to put up more points. They both have decent defenses. You know, the Jags defense took a step back last year from where they were the year before that. They were dominant before that.
Yeah, I mean, there was only one way for them to go, though.
Right. It's true.
They had to be worse because they were so dominant that year before.
Yep.
I think that they all kind of are humbled by what happened. And I think that they're...
Wait. You think Jalen Ramsey is humbled?
No, okay. Minus him.
there's no humble in that dude's vocabulary.
Oh, yeah. Definitely not him. But the rest of them kind of are like, oh, man, this isn't as easy as we thought it was going to be. Let's actually get to work and bear down and get back to being a dominant defense. And I think they'll be good. I don't think they'll be number one like they were 2 years ago.
But yeah.
I think they'll be right up there.
Who do you think will be the number one defense?
I'm not gonna say it because you'll laugh at me.
No, I already know what you. I already know what you think. Go ahead and say it. But you can be a homer. I'm gonna be a homer on some things today too.
I think the Cowboys' defense is absolutely stacked this year.
Who do they have for a pass rusher?
They have DeMarcus Lawrence. They have Robert Quinn. He's suspended for 2 games, but nonetheless, they have Crawford. They have Malik Collins, who is going to have an absolute monster year. Wise, it's a contract year for him.
See, I can see what you're saying. I mean, I know the Cowboys do have some talent in the back part of their defense. We're talking DBs and linebackers. Their linebackers are probably the best in the league.
I don't think that's even a question.
But I just feel like they don't have the pressure up front. I don't think they have the pressure up front. Not when you're comparing them to Jacksonville or Chicago, or I mean even the Rams. I think the Rams, if you're talking pass rushers, I think they're the best in the league as far as pass rushers are concerned.
Well, they got that guy in the middle that covered up for a lot of things there.
Yeah, I mean, 20 sacks as a interior D lineman. That's going to do some things.
Yeah, he's got to be double teamed on every single snap. So that lets your edge rushers have single, maybe a chip, maybe help from a tight end. But other than that, they're going to have an easier route to the quarterback than anyone else.
Do you know what's funny about Aaron Donald too is did you watch Hard Knocks this last week? I guess it was the week before when they had like the joint practice and the rookie there for.
Oh yeah,
he's like, hey, he doesn't look that big.
He doesn't look that big.
He doesn't look that big. You know what's funny is when Dad went to their game and he was he was kind of up in the front and watching the D lineman. He's like, yeah, Aaron Donald is not a big guy. You know, when you compare him to the offensive lineman and the other guys on the D line, you know, he doesn't look imposing compared to those guys. But the thing is the guy is just freaking country strong and he's got a quick first step and there's just no stopping him, you know?
Yeah. He's relentless. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's no stopping. He's so good. He's got such a motor too. I mean, he's ridiculous. But so you got the Jags, I got the Texans. I'm assuming your record is probably close to 9-7.
Yeah. I think that one of them I think 9-7 is probably right there.
Yeah. I don't see any team in that division having 10 wins. I think even 8-8 might win that division, to be honest. So, your wild card teams, mine are the Chargers at 10-6 and the Steelers at 9-7. What do you got?
I had the Browns and I had the Chiefs.
I like it. All right, let's get into the NFC. NFC. We'll do the NFC East last.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah,
that's
a good idea. We have some skin in that game. We'll start with the AFC South or NFC South. Who do you think is going to take the NFC South?
I think. All right. So I think that it's going to be the Falcons.
Okay.
And I mean, they were absolutely decimated by injuries last year. Their defense was. I think they're pulling people off the street after week one to fill starting roles. So I think that their defense will be a lot better. And they have one of the best skill position cores in all of the NFL with Julio. And then you have Freeman in the backfield.
Yep.
And then you have two good supporting cast receivers there as well. Calvin Ridley. And Mohamed Sanu. So I mean, they're loaded at the skill positions.
Not to interrupt you, but have you seen Mohamed Sanu throw a football? Did you see that?
No.
So they it's kind of like a viral video this week. It's been kind of like a thing that Mohamed Sanu has a freaking cannon, and he's got a freaking gun. And so they video him. They're like, oh, let's we got a radar gun here. we're going to see how hard you throw compared to other NFL quarterbacks. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah, let's do that. And they're like, have you ever done this before? He's like, no, I never had a radar gun. I mean, I know I can throw hard. So he's like, all right, well, just don't break my fingers. He goes, well, I have done that before. He's like, you broke fingers? He's like, oh, yeah. So then the guy's like trying to catch the passes, and I know he's scared of breaking his fingers because, you know, he kind of already put that out there like, oh, yeah. You know, shit, I'm going to get my fingers broken now. He's already told me he's broke several fingers throwing footballs. And so they're clocking him. He got up to, I think the highest was 56 miles an hour, which was the second fastest recorded ever. And, you know, and it was right behind Josh Allen, who had 62. So he threw the ball harder than Mahomes. Mahomes, I think, was 54 miles per hour, or 55.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So you got a wide receiver there that can throw a football, you know, second fastest of anybody that's been, you know, been recorded there. And yeah.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good weapon you can have there. I never knew he had that kind of an arm. So maybe they should utilize that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I think with the NFC South, like, everyone's all about New Orleans, but I don't know, man. To me, I saw Drew Brees starting to fall off at the end of last year. So maybe age is catching up with him, and I'm thinking this might be it for him this year, you know? I think he might be right at the end.
I could see that happening. And I know, you know, before the last couple years stretch when they started to get their run game going, they had some down years. And, you know, that was in his prime. You know, Drew Brees was still well in his prime then, and they, you know, they were not a 10-win team. They were not making the playoffs. I just feel like I did pick the Saints. I got the Saints at 10-6. I think they're going to win that division. I just think that they just have such a great run game. It's not all on Drew Brees' shoulders anymore. They got Jared Cook, which I think that's a game changer for them. You know, he really hasn't had that freak athlete at the tight end position since he lost Jimmy Graham, and we know what he did with him.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean,
I feel like he's
the question is, can he push the ball down the field? Because from what I saw, my eye test said that he couldn't throw the ball. Like, he was turning into Cam Newton there at the end. You know, Cam had the shoulder issue at the end of last year.
Yeah.
Couldn't push the ball more than 20 yards down the field. And I think Drew Brees was right there behind him. Like, people forget how Drew Brees' career almost ended due to a shoulder issue. So
right.
maybe fatigue's starting to catch up to him there.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. That's Father Time is – Undefeated,
and he's over 40.
Yeah, we can't have two over 40 quarterbacks, you know, friggin' being in contention with the Super Bowl, and you know what I mean? Like, what the heck is this? But
yeah.
All right, so you got the Falcons, I got the Saints.
Yeah, I think the Falcons are going to win 11 games. I think no one else in that division is going to win. Oh, there might be one other 9-7. I think that Tampa is going to be the bottom dweller of that division, and they'll be in the old quarterback market. Jameis, even with Bruce Arians at the helm there, I don't think that he's the guy. I think that he's just kind of a middle of the road, lower end starter who will be in the league for another 10 years after this, but he's not going to get another, like, you are the franchise role,
right,
in my opinion.
Well, he almost lost that to Fitzpatrick last year.
Yeah.
I mean, they were starting Fitzpatrick over him. I just think, I feel with Jameis Winston, I feel like he has leadership issues. I don't feel like he's got that locker room behind him. I just feel like, you know, you remember that video that was, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, when he was like, oh, what's that? What's that? It's a W. We're going to eat a W today. Do you remember that? He's like,
yeah,
we're going to eat a
so
W.
Ridiculous.
And then all of his teammates were just like looking at him like, you are a moron, you know? Like, I feel like even that was a ridiculous thing, like what he was doing.
Yeah.
But if Drew Brees did that, his team would be going ballistic.
Sure.
Even if it's the stupidest shit you've ever seen in your life, his team would be just freaking, you know, going crazy. because he's a leader, and they got his back. You know, he could say whatever the hell he wants, and they're gonna follow him. Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I think that's his biggest downfall. I mean, he's got all the talent in the world, but I just think he's not a leader. He's not a leader.
Yeah, you're right. He's extremely talented. It's definitely his leadership, and you can totally see it on the field too. Like, when Fitzy got in the game, is everyone perked up?
Yeah, exactly. And Fitzpatrick is a leader.
Yep.
He is a leader. And actually, we're going to go back to the AFC here because I want to bring that up. So with Fitzpatrick playing with the Dolphins. So, you know, I got some friends here that are Dolphins fans, actually quite a few, because I'm friends with some people that are from Miami, and they're all like, oh, you know, we want the first pick. We want the first pick. We want the first pick. And I'm like, well, if you want the first pick, don't start Fitzpatrick because he's going to win games. The dude will win freaking games. He's a gamer. The dude, he gives it 110% every time, and he's got intangible qualities, and people freaking rally around that guy.
Yeah.
He
got a big contract in Buffalo, but the thing about him is he's a gunslinger. He's just going to chuck it.
He is definitely going to chuck it.
He's going to throw two or three balls a game that you're like, oh my gosh, what are you doing? That's horrible. But he'll just throw a pick and get right back at it.
Like, yep.
That is who Fitzpatrick is. He is going to take his chances. He's going to try to throw balls where they absolutely shouldn't go, and he's just going to keep going.
Yep. But he'll win some games.
He will, absolutely.
And I don't think the Dolphins are going to have the first pick.
No, they're not.
Unless for some reason they decide to switch to Rosen.
I mean, they might blow it up here on Saturday, so we can't say that too soon.
That could be. All right, so let's go with the NFC North. I'm going to go with the Vikings. I think the Vikings are, it's a very similar situation with them as it is with the Browns. I think they just have too much talent at all the skill positions. I think Dalvin Cook coming back is going to be such a freaking shot in the arm for them. If he stays healthy, I mean, that offense is freaking dangerous, man.
Yep, I'm with you on that.
He's a home run hitter. Any spot in the field, I mean, they have – in my opinion, the best 1-2 receiver tandem in the league. And I don't even think there's anybody that can contend with that. Maybe the Falcons.
Well, I mean, the Browns might have something to say about that.
Yeah, the Browns too. But, I mean, we'll say 1-2. You think, let's say Stephon Diggs is the 2 and Thielen's the 1.
Yeah.
You're going to take Landry over Stephon Diggs? Because I'm not.
No, but I would take Odell over Thielen.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
He's just so much more talented.
Talented, yes, but Thielen.
I love Thielen.
What Thielen has no antics. There's no drama. There's no, you know, ego. It's just you know what I mean? And you know what else Thielen doesn't do? He doesn't drop freaking footballs ever. The guy freaking does not drop footballs. And, you know, I don't know. I would take their receivers over any receivers in the league. You know, because I feel like even Diggs is another guy too. Like he doesn't seem like he has a big ego either. You know?
Yeah.
He just gets job done, and you know, I don't know.
Yeah, he's not mad if Thielen gets more targets or more yards or more touchdowns. They're just there to produce and win games.
Another reason I just love Thielen is because like his story. You know. Yeah. Undrafted guy,
he only came in for a local tryout,
right?
And they
crazy
turned into the number one top five receiver in the league.
Yeah, insane. So yeah, I got the Vikings at 11-5. I think they're going to win that division. Are you taking the Vikings too?
I am taking the Vikings. I do think that the North will get a wild card. And I think that'll be the Bears. I think the Packers are not going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I can see that also. I'm not going to tell you who my wild card teams are because that's going to be a little bit of a surprise at the end. Because I think we have some surprises there. But I'll just give you a little bit of a hint. I don't think it's coming from the NFC North. And I think that's also a surprise too because I feel like most people are going to pick either the Vikings, Bears, or Packers as being a wild card team.
Or all three.
And I think that's probably a very popular opinion is that all three are going to be playoffs teams, but I don't think so. I think the Vikings are going to run away with this division. I think the Bears are going to take a step back. I think they kind of overplayed themselves a little bit last year.
Well, I mean, they were the number one defense last year. There's only one place they can go, right? Is down from number one. Like, I guess they could stay, but I don't see that happening. I mean, you have Khalil Mack, but really, who else is going to pressure the quarterback?
Right. Right. No, I agree.
They have Roquan Smith for linebackers, but that's and Trevathan's okay, but he's getting older, you know. So, and then their secondary is good. I'll give them that.
Yeah, I think their defense is still going to be top 10 in the league. I don't think they're going to be as dominant as they were last year. I think the real step back is going to be on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, I don't really see them as doing too much damage. I feel like their skill positions are lacking. You know, they don't have a ton of weapons on offense. I feel like Mitch Trubisky kind of played a little bit out of his mind last year at times, and you know, I just feel like their offense is not going to hurt you. And I think their defense is going to take a little bit of a step back from where they were last year. And I think that's going to cost them a couple wins and it's going to put them out of the playoffs.
Yeah. And not to mention their kicker issues also.
Yeah. Yeah, and people underestimate the importance of a kicker.
It's so important.
The most,
so many games are within one score.
Tons. In if you look at NFL history, just look at the history books at the top scoring players in NFL history. They're all kickers. So who are putting points on the board, guys? It's freaking kickers, you know? I know, you know, people don't want to talk about that, but kickers are important. They're very, very important. So let's go to the NFC West. I think this one's, you know, we're probably going to agree on this one. I got the Rams. I think the Rams are going to have the best record in the NFL. I think they're going to be 13-3. I think that's going to be the best record. I don't think anybody in that division can even touch them. I don't even think anybody in that division is – I mean, I don't think there's going to even be an 8-8 team in that division. That division,
Seattle?
I think Seattle's going to take a huge step back. They don't have any weapons. They don't have any receivers.
Yeah, Baldwin's gone.
DK Metcalf, they're counting on him as a rookie coming in and making a contribution, which, you know, you can't really count on that, especially when you got a guy who, you know, yeah, he's a freak athletically, but, you know, and he's injured. You know, he's injured. Yeah. So, you know, I feel like it's hard to bet against Russell Wilson because the guy,
just gonna say that.
He's so good and he does things with anybody. I mean, I could go out there and play receiver and he'd get me the ball, you know? And,
I mean, that's the sign of greatness.
It is.
When you can make mediocre talent look good and win games with it. I mean, that's what Tom Brady did at receiver forever.
Yep. It's very true.
You know?
Yeah, and he is a great quarterback. I just feel like I feel like I don't know, and this could be just my hatred for the Seahawks. You know, the Seahawks. You said a team you hate that's out of the division is the Steelers. For me, it's the Seahawks. Can't stand them. Can't stand the Seahawks. It's mainly because of Richard Sherman. I know he's not on the team anymore, but still,
he's a 49er.
I know he's on the 49ers, but I still hate the Seahawks because of Richard Sherman. So, congratulations, you know, Richard Sherman. You made me hate the Seahawks forever. But I think the Rams are going to run away with it.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the Rams are going to win. I bet one of their losses will be in Seattle because they always lose in Seattle. But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
I think they will be almost as good as last year.
The Rams?
I think they lost a few pieces of defense that they'll miss.
I don't know.
I know that they tried to help that out. Like they signed Clay Matthews.
Yeah.
He'll be all right. He's getting old. But losing Sue next to Aaron Donald, that's going to be a big deal because Sue played really well in the playoffs.
Right.
And then who they lose? They lose Joyner at safety. He was a ball hawk. He had 4 or 5 picks every year. So, I mean, that's something that's going to be tough for them to replace. So I think that they're not going to be as good as last year on their record, but they're definitely a Super Bowl contender for sure.
And then you have, you know, the concerns with Gurley. With
Gurley's knee, I was just going to say that.
Yeah,
which is causing me some grief right now.
Yes, we'll talk about that in a little bit. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Fantasy, from the fantasy perspective.
Yeah.
All right.
You know that the Rams are concerned about it because they used a very high draft pick in the top 3 rounds on a running back.
Right.
As insurance. So you know that they're thinking that Gurley might not be able to carry the whole load.
Well, I mean, Gurley had issues last year.
Yeah.
He missed a lot of time. He missed a lot of time.
CJ Anderson played so well for them.
Yeah, he did. And he came out of nowhere, too. And he looked like, I'm not talking like while he's running, I'm talking like physically.
Yeah.
He looked like the worst he ever has in his life. I mean, he looked like a freaking cannonball out there. But, dude, keep that body, you know? Yeah. Like, that works for you. Yeah,
it was like a short Jerome Bettis out there.
It was so weird because I remember the first time I saw him, and I'm like, "That's CJ Anderson." Yeah. That's CJ Anderson. What the hell happened? Oh, okay, never mind. He just busted a 30-yard touchdown. Okay, I guess you know his legs still work.
Yeah.
All right.
It works, you know.
NFC East. Dun dun dun.
All right.
NFC East. I already know what you're gonna say.
Absolutely 100% the Dallas Cowboys.
They're going to win the NFC East.
Yep.
What's the record going to be?
I think they're going to win at least 12 games.
Oh, wow. Wow. 12.
Yep. I mean, okay. And the disclaimer there is
if Zeke comes back.
As long as Zeke is there week 1.
Okay. So let's say we'll give you 2 predictions here then. We'll have a hypothetical. So, hypothetically, he doesn't come back. He misses the whole year. What's their record?
They're still a 10-win team.
10-win team without Zeke. Okay.
Yep.
So, if he's there week 1, they're a 12-win team. If he's not there, they're a 10-win team. So, he's worth 2 wins.
He's worth at least 2 wins, yeah.
Okay. All right. This pains me to say, but like I said, I'm not trying to just say things. I want to be right. So, this is a head thing that I'm saying, not a heart thing. And it really hurts because of all the teams in the NFC East, this is the team I hate the most.
I know what you're going to say.
And I think the Eagles are going to win the NFC East. I think they're going to be an 11-5 team. I think 11-5 is going to be good enough to win that division, not because the division isn't good, because I think it is good. It's because in that division, they just beat up on each other.
Yeah.
They beat up on each other all the time. And that's what happens every year. And it doesn't matter what the records are. You could have the best team in the division playing in the worst team in the division. And I'll tell you what, if you're a betting man, don't bet on that game because anything can happen. I think the Eagles take it 11-5. And this is where my surprise comes in with the wild card. I think both wild card teams are coming from the NFC East. Both wild card teams are coming from the NFC East. And this is going to be hypothetical as well because this has to do with injuries. So the Redskins, the past 2 years, no team in the NFL has more injuries to starters than the Redskins. They were decimated for the past 2 years. Bringing guys off the street, starting them, and then that guy gets hurt. And then they bring now we got second and third string street starters. We're not talking second and third string on your roster. We're getting the dude that you picked up from Walmart's backup. And starting him. So I think the Cowboys are going to be a wild card team. I think they're going to be 10-6. I think Zeke is going to miss games. I think it's a real possibility that Zeke misses at least 4 games. And if the Cowboys start off bad, then they'll sign him. If they get off to a slow start, if they get off to a fast start, he could miss the whole year. And it'd be a Le'Veon Bell situation. Because
I gotta tell you, that would be the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
It could happen.
Like, I thought Le'Veon was bad last year, but Zeke sitting out the whole year would be the dumbest thing I've ever seen in sports, because he would lose out on his $4 million and still have 2 years left on his contract, just like he did before.
Right.
Like, Jerry's going to trade him. He's not stupid.
Right.
Jerry holds all the leverage here.
Well, and he knows that.
And Zeke is hoping at this point, I think he's got bad advice from his agent, first off, but I think that he's hoping that the Cowboys don't pay him, get off to a bad start, and then panic and pay him what he wants. But
I can see
that. I don't know if you've seen Tony Pollard run in the preseason, but that dude looks legit.
No, I get it, but the key word there is preseason.
That's the only thing you have to go off with a rookie is what he's done in preseason.
That's true. I mean, I think if the Cowboys get off to a slow start, they're going to overpay for Zeke, and he'll come back. If the Cowboys get off to a quick start, yeah. And again, you know, I think he is getting some bad advice from his agent. But if you look at it from their perspective, being an agent for a top flight running back is a difficult job, because the running back position has been devalued so much in our lifetime. Because if you think back to when we were kids, you know, back when we were, you know, 12, 13, every year in the draft, what did we want them to take in the first round? Running back. Take a running back. Get a running back. Get Ricky Williams. Get, you know, Marshall Faulk. Get this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. Reggie Bush even, you know. And that was kind of the end. Reggie Bush was kind of the end of that.
Yeah.
After that, it kind of fizzled. And that's, I think, you know, Reggie Bush was kind of the trigger in the devaluing of the running back position and how they started slipping in the draft, to where now you got, you know, studs going in the second, third, fourth round. And all the NFL teams know that, you know? So they're sandbagging on running backs.
Yeah, that plays a big role, is they know that they can find someone or Kamara in the third round, you know?
Like, exactly.
That will be potentially great, and you don't have to pay him very much.
Right. So it's got to be a tough job being an agent for a running back like that, because what do you do?
I mean, I think that you could have said that a few years ago when Freeman struggled to get $9 million a year when receivers were getting 16. But it's kind of shifted to where now there's three running backs, Johnson, your boy Gurley, and Le'Veon, who are all over 13, and Gurley's over 14. So, I mean, I think that Jerry and the Cowboys see the Gurley contract as a warning, like, hey,
exactly,
they overpaid him, and now they're stuck with it,
right?
Guaranteeing him $45 million, and he's got arthritis in his knee at 25,
right? And David Johnson missed a year. And he wasn't the same guy last year.
Right. Well, I mean, that's because their team was awful. But
I mean, I just think it's a difficult position for an agent. I think it's a difficult position for an NFL player, because it's one of the most demanding positions. There's not really a player that gets hit as much as the running back does. And it takes a toll on their body. Players,
but that's also why the teams are cautious about how much they pay them, is because they know that they do get hit so much and the injury risk is so high and the shelf life is so short.
Right. So it makes it really hard. Yeah. But I mean, I don't blame Zeke for wanting to get paid, because he knows that he's playing in a league, in a position where, you know,
he's on borrowed time.
Yeah, it could end at any moment, you know, and he knows that. Yeah. But
don't get me wrong. I want him to get the contract that he deserves. But if the rumor out there is true that he's been offered more than Le'Veon, then, I mean, really, if you think about it, the market was set by Gurley, but then it was also reset in free agency when all the teams in the league could bid on it by Le'Veon Bell.
Right.
And that was lower. So the new market was set, and that's Le'Veon Bell's number. So if you're getting more than that, then what more can you ask for, you know?
Well, he obviously wants more because he hasn't signed.
Right, exactly. And you know what it is? I mean, it could be Z, for all I know. It's like they know when we talk to him. But I think it's the agent has an agenda that he needs to sign. He needs to say, oh, look, I've signed the most guaranteed money with the highest overall money for a running back ever in the league.
Yep.
You know, he wants that on his resume. So right. It has nothing to do with Z. It's all about, like, oh, I need it.
Right. Exactly.
For new clients.
Yep. Yep, definitely. And then, so what do you think about the reports that Dak was offered an outlandish amount and that he turned it down and he wants, what does he want? What does he want now?
Oh, yeah, he was offered 30 and wants 40.
40.
A year.
40 million a year. That's almost twice as much as Tom Brady.
Yeah.
For Dak Prescott. I hope they pay him as a Redskins fan.
He's gonna get paid.
I hope they sign him for 40.
Well, that's not gonna happen. I mean, that was a negotiating tactic. But yeah, I don't think he is a $30 million quarterback either, but the market is the market, you know? So the last five quarterbacks that have signed deals have been over $30 million. So if you're him and you see Carson Wentz get 32, then I would say, yeah, I want 32. Carson Wentz can't stay healthy and play 16 games a year. I've never missed a game. I've won, 32 and 16 in 3 years? Like, you gotta give him credit where credit is due. The man's a winner. I mean, it doesn't look good, but at the end of the game, if he's within a score, you bet your ass he's going to march the team down the field and score.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a gamer, man. He's a winner. It doesn't look great, and he's not the most accurate, but I like him. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but he is a winner, and you got to give him that.
So I have to ask you this because, you know, during the whole Tony Romo era, I had to listen to you and Dad, especially Dad. Dad, you know, our father's also a huge Cowboys fan for you guys, just so you know that. So I had to hear both of you guys talking about, oh, my God, oh, Tony Romo, blah, 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 blah. And the whole time I'm like, listen, give me Tony Romo. I will freaking take Tony Romo. I would love to have Tony Romo. So my question is, say Tony Romo was in his prime.
Uh-huh.
Who would you prefer, him or Dak?
That's a good question. I mean, really, they have a lot of similarities in that, like their leadership. They're both great leaders, and that was really something that I think helped Dak rise, and you saw the team rally around him, is the fact that he does carry himself and present himself in a way that people want to follow him.
Yeah. He does he does have good leadership qualities, and the guys play hard for him.
They do. Both in their prime, I would probably still take Tony.
I would definitely take Tony. I think Tony Romo is one of the most underrated quarterbacks ever to play the game. The guy was, oh my God, I hated it so much. It was like,
like a miracle, man.
Oh my God. It seemed like 4 or 5 times a game, he would like, you know, I remember distinctly, there was like the center for the Cowboys was hurt. So they had a backup center in there. And like 3-4 times in the same game, the center was like hiking the ball over Tony Romo's freaking head. And he had to run back, scoop up the ball, and then he would still like make a dude miss and then complete like a 30-yard pass.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking
about. Oh my God, it was like the hardest thing in the world to watch. And he would do stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
It seemed like he was, you know, it was going to be, he would take a, you know, a 10-yard loss and turn it into a touchdown. And it seemed to always happen to the Redskins.
No, I mean, you're so right. Unfortunately, what you remember the most about Tony is those heartbreaking playoff moments.
Yep.
the snap when he was the holder in Seattle, which they greased that ball up. I'm here to say that right now. The holder in Seattle where he dropped the hold on the game-winning field goal, when they were the number one seed and the Giants came in and he threw the interception to end the game when he was trying to hit Terry Glenn when Terry Glenn was out like the whole year, and that decision just haunts me. So like those are the things about Tony that you remember. Towards the end of his career, all you really saw was him laying on the carpet, you know, like he just couldn't stay healthy anymore, which was sad because you could just see how much it hurt him to see Dak take his team to the number one seed
right
a few years ago. And, you know, I wish he did have one more chance with that team because it was built for Tony Romo to succeed.
Well, the big thing, too, with Tony
one
Romo.
One more play in the playoffs.
What's that?
The Dez Bryant catch. Yes, I said catch because it was a catch. That was complete bullshit.
Well, I mean, by rule it wasn't, but in the backyard, that's a catch.
Dude, everywhere in the world it's a catch except for in the only game that mattered at that point in time.
Right.
That was such bullshit.
Yeah. I mean, I think the big thing with Tony Romo, and this is something that, you know, we never got to see, was him playing behind that line with Zeke. Yeah. I feel like, to be honest with you, that year, which ended up being his last year when he was essentially the backup for Dak, I think, and you know, I'll say this, if he was the starter that year, they would have won the Super Bowl.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, and I think in 14 they were headed for the Super Bowl when they went into Green Bay that the same year that of the Dez Bryant no catch.
Yeah,
think about it. They already went into Seattle once that year and beat them. And Green Bay, if it wasn't for a botched onside kick drop by a guy who that was his last play ever in the NFL.
Yep,
they were the Super Bowl team, and the Cowboys that already would have beat them. Yep. So, I mean, to me, that's two lost opportunities that were there for the taking with Tony Romo. And shoot, that year again when they were the one seed, the old Cabo San Lucas incident with Jessica Simpson.
Yep.
That year they were by far the best team in the league.
I think one of the things that is really great to see, and I think it's an area of his game that nobody really realized until he got into the booth, the fact that the guy is just crazy smart. He's got such great football knowledge and instincts. Yeah. And I don't know, man. I feel like I don't know what he's like physically, but I feel like mentally getting into the booth and being able to see things from a different perspective.
Yeah.
That may have made him better. Like if he would have maybe took 1 year in the booth.
Yeah.
And then came back.
Yeah.
I feel like he could have done some damage.
Yeah, but the problem with that is that like he's so good in the booth that he's going to make so much more money.
Oh yeah, everybody loves him there. It's like, you know,
like,
it's a game.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
He's going to make so much more money to not get hit and put himself at risk of injury again. And he's already had two or three back surgeries, so it's like, why would you do that when you're going to make $10 million to sit there and talk about football and everyone's going to love you for it?
That's true. It's very
true. I can't say I blame him, especially because he's got a lot, like a bunch of young kids.
So that brings up a really good point because this is kind of a similar situation. You know, I was going to ask you a question. Do you think Tony Romo would ever be a coach? And, you know, I feel like I don't think he would because.
No, I think I already answered that question.
Yeah, because you don't have to put the grind in. You don't have to watch all that film. And, you know, it's not the day to day. It's not the training camp. It's not the, you know.
You're not sleeping in your office.
Exactly. Game planning and being on the road and all this stuff. But
he flies out Friday and then does a game Sunday and then flies
home after, and then he's there with his family Monday through Thursday. So he's got it made.
But the big thing, though, for me, though, and this is what kind of, you know, leads me to question it a little bit, I never thought John Gruden would come back to coaching because...
Yeah, but he was a coach.
He was a coach, but he also was a very similar guy in the booth to Tony Romo. People love John Gruden. Love John Gruden in the booth.
Dude, I love John Gruden. He's
same.
So funny.
And I didn't think he would ever come back to coach either because he's so good in the booth, and that's a cushy job. You know, you don't have to put in those long hours and, you know, building the team and all that, but I just feel I feel like you know, and when you see guys who retire and you ask them, I was actually just listening to a radio show today. It was a podcast with Marshall Faulk. They asked him what's the thing he misses the most. And most guys say this, and it's the locker room.
Yeah. You
know, they miss the locker room. They miss the camaraderie.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what brings guys back. You know, I feel like that's why John Gruden ended up, well, besides the fact they paid him out the ass. That helped a little bit. But
well, he wants to win again. Like the feeling, man. You get competition in your blood and it's just not going away. Like, yeah, I guess you're competing in the booth against, say, your Fox, and you're competing against CBS.
Yeah, that's
really,
not the same. That's
not the same as being down there on the field.
No, it's definitely not the same. I definitely understand that. I need competition in my life. I seek it out. Need it.
Yeah.
Keeps me sane. So we're actually out of time for today, so we're going to end this now. I know we talked about the fantasy thing and how we're going to get to that. We're actually going to put that in the next episode. So be sure to hit that subscribe button so you can be alerted when we're going to post that up. We're going to have lots of awesome information on there, who our sleepers are, who we're targeting, who we think are going to be busts, who's going to be the guy that's going to put you over the top this year. So be sure to tune in for that. And thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on The First String.